From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. If you like winter, appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour as we launch our 21st year. Gabe, I was just thinking, Gabe Sorensen, our producer, we're into our second millennium already. We started in 1999.
Wow.
And now we'll be our fourth decade, because it'll be 2020 in January.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
So, yeah, four decades. Even though it's only, we're barely past 20 years. It's just weird. How could you only be 20 years and be four decades? Because we're just touching the 1990s and the 2020s.
That's amazing. That's incredible. Well, happy 21st birthday.
Thank you. Thank you. We're
you guys going to go, out and grab a shot?
Like, go party.
Grab a beer.
Lindsay West joins us.
Hello.
How are you? The regional coordinator for Youth and Young Adult Ministry in the Sacramento region of the Sacramento Diocese.
Correct.
Because Sacramento Diocese stretches all the way to Canada.
Practically.
Practically.
Yeah.
Actually,
I mean,
to the Oregon border.
I'd say
the
Oregon
Nevada
and Washington
border.
Might have something to say about it, but you know, basically.
Yeah. There are a couple of dioceses between here. You know, it's well, we have Oregon only has two dioceses, and they think they're just gigantic, but they're still. And they are, but they divide theirs like right down the middle, east, north, south. So there's the western, and the eastern.
Yeah.
So they're both very lengthy dioceses like ours is.
That's interesting because I have family in Oregon, but they're not Catholic, so I don't know much about the Catholic diocese.
Yeah, it's just divide. You've got the eastern, the diocese of Baker, and then you have the western, which is on the high desert. Not what you think of Oregon. It's not all trees and everything. And then you have the Western, which is the Diocese of Portland, the Archdiocese of Portland.
Right. Okay.
And it's all the western side of the mountains and the coast and all that, where it is Oregon. I mean, it's trees
what you
and
think
mountains
of,
and all that. So it's a very two interesting dioceses. And then I think Washington State has at least three. It has Seattle. It has the Archdiocese of Seattle. It has Yakima.
Okay.
And it has Spokane.
Oh,
over
that makes
sense. On the eastern side.
Okay.
And then you got Canada. That's it.
Do you know the Canadian?
We've got the
diocese
of Vancouver and Edmonton and Calgary.
Wow, that's impressive. My geography is terrible. I've always, even like in fifth grade when we did like our states and they gave us a blank map and they were like, fill in the states.
I'm the expert. I can take all 50 states, not in context, just isolate. Just here's a cutout of this state. Here's the shape of this state.
Oh, wow.
I can tell you what state it is.
You have to teach me your ways because I'm terrible at geography.
I have been unable to make any money off that skill.
I'll brainstorm with you because I feel like you should be able
there
to make money
some,
off of something like that.
If there was an Olympic event, I would be a gold medal winner. I could give talks, you know, to business groups for $25,000 a shot. You know how that works? Yeah, but no, I get nothing for it.
Oh, well.
Except my kids coming to me saying, Dad, what state is this?
It was tutoring, right? Like, you know, you could have tutored me when I was in fifth grade, and
but
maybe I would
even
have done
know
better.
I would too. I mean, it's like I know what
it's
the
just
shape
a gift
of,
that you have.
Of Illinois is, you know, but I don't know how I would transmit that skill to.
Yeah, that's just a gift.
It's a gift. It's a gift from God.
Speaking of some gifts, are you ready for Christmas?
I'm not even ready for Halloween yet.
Well, it's good. You have plenty of time for that one.
Christmas of, 2017, maybe I'm ready for it. But not.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. It's still Advent.
Is this Christmas of 2019 or 20?
19, yeah.
19,
we're
okay.
Still in 19.
We're still in 19.
Yeah, I think so.
Wow.
we need more coffee, Bob.
Right, we do. Christmas gets you a little giddy, especially when you've got two young ones.
Yes.
And ours aren't quite so young anymore, but I remember those days with great fondness.
Are they, so no, because I know
four teenagers.
And see, they're all teenagers. So are they at the like, it's Christmas, I'm just glad to be out of school? No, are they still like excited for like?
They're still excited.
That's nice.
Well, they're still in school, except that we have one that's a freshman at UC Davis, and she just finished her finals. But the other three are still in school.
This is the last week, yeah?
This is the last week. Okay. And then, but you know, it's funny, my sister, my oldest sister, I have many sisters, Mary, which means it's the firstborn in an Irish Catholic family. The firstborn female is Mary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you see somebody, their name tag says Mary, you just can make that assumption, and 99.9% of the time you're going to be right.
Yeah.
And anyway, she came by last night. We had, with all these gingerbread houses, one for each kid.
Oh, nice.
And they all sat around the table, these teenagers.
Cute.
Making gingerbread houses.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, I said, you know, that we had a fire in the fireplace and the Christmas tree's decorated.
Norman
and
Rockwell
Christmas
painting moment.
And I said, with tears in my eyes, this is what I always dreamed of. Everybody was happy, and they were putting gumdrops and decorating their, and it was just, and I thought, you know, they're teenagers. They still were in that Christmas joy, you know.
That's
of course,
cute.
My sister Mary still thinks they're four, you know.
Yeah, we have this year we bought like a pre-made gingerbread house.
Mm-hmm.
In the last couple of years, we've had to like try and build it, and then we run out of time to decorate it.
Yeah.
So, but we haven't done ours yet.
This was a whole event. It was an all evening event.
Yeah.
You know, where each had their own.
And now are they going to eat it, or is it just for?
It'll just sit there.
Okay.
You know, there were gumdrops, there was frosting, and my sister brought enough extra stuff, like...
You could snack on it, right?
You could snack on it, but you could also, you know, you could make a river out of the blue jelly beans, and you could make...
Cool.
I saw these, they look like waffle cones that you would get at Baskin-Robbins. Do you want the waffle cone or the sugar cone? You know, and they're kind of, that corrugated, they look like, you know, and I'm going... I saw about 12 of them there, just sitting there before the event started, before the bell rang, you know. And I said, what are those? Are they just going to, maybe they're going to have ice cream afterwards and put it in a cone.
Okay.
And then, but when I came back after they were finished, they made Christmas trees out of them. They turned them upside down.
Cool.
Put the green frosting on them.
Yeah.
And some little polka dot like candies to for
like ornaments,
lights,
yeah.
Like
or
ornaments,
or lights, yeah, okay.
And they were Christmas trees. I had no idea.
That is cool.
I'm not creative that way.
Yeah, it sounds like your sister's really creative. She has
she had
that kind of mindset.
She had a cutout of the state of Illinois. I'd been...
Then you would have been able to join in the Christmas state fund.
Yes. So you know, I mean, obviously, this is the Bishop's Hour, and Christmas is. First and foremost, a religious, not a religious holiday, a religious, sacred, religious feast day.
Yeah.
But the other parts of Christmas are fun, too.
Yeah.
And it's I think it's great to see the coordination. It's sort of like the Advent calendar that has chocolate in it. You know, it's like,
well, now, Bob,
it's a twofer.
It's even like better for our son. They have a Lego Advent calendar. So
do
instead
they really?
Of, yeah, because we try to limit our kiddos' sugar because he doesn't
chocolate
need extra.
Intake.
Yeah, yeah. He's one of those kids who like can't handle his sugar.
like any kid can.
Yeah, well, some better than others, but so it's Legos. He gets like a different, like, little mini Lego build each day for his
when you open
Advent.
The little window?
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. So
and then when you put them all together, does it...
It creates a little Christmas scene.
Wow.
Yeah, or I guess it's more of a winter scene because it's not really religious, but it's like a winter scene. So so he has that. So he's been loving that. And now they even have... we have this little... It's like pocket. So it's another Advent calendar we have where it's like at the top... It's fabric banner, and then it's like a felt Mary and Joseph, you know, Saint Joseph up there, and an empty manger, and then there's like a little plush stuffed
Jesus that like hops from the pockets through each day until finally being able to rest in the manger.
Kind of like Elf on the Shelf. Moves around.
Well, but it, yeah, I mean, sort of, except you don't have to do anything creative. You just pick him up and move him to the next pocket, but you know, that says the date. But yeah. The one really cool creative thing that I thought was interesting, I'm not sure how I feel about it because it's like it was a craft idea that I had found like maybe 6 years ago when I was a director of religious education at a parish down in the Archdiocese of San Francisco. And so I did this as an Advent project with my families. Mm-hmm. And now it's like commercialized. You can go buy it at the store. And it originally was called the Manger Project. I don't remember what the new marketing material is. But you get an empty manger, and then you have a little, you know, Mary and St. Joseph figure. We made peg dolls. And then you have a little baby Jesus figure. Again, a little baby Jesus peg doll. And then you get this, like, straw or, right, like, hay that goes in the manger. But the idea is that every night you gather at the dinner table, you're eating your dinner, or if you're maybe gathering around for family prayer in the evening or mm-hmm. something like that, right? And you can talk about what are the acts of kindness or acts of mercy, mm-hmm. right, that you've done, corporal or spiritual. And then I always did too, private prayer and devotion, right? So we pray as a family every night, but we're trying to encourage our son to pray on his own as well. Oh, sure, and sure. So for every,
he's,
you know,
six.
Yeah, he's mm-hmm. six as of October. So for every kind of time that he prays on his own and or, you know, shows Christ, is Christ's hands and feet to someone mm-hmm. else, you know, is kind and loving and you know, does one of these acts of mercy, you add a piece of straw. Oh, and wow. The idea is that your goal is to provide the softest, you know, bed of hay for baby Jesus by Christmas.
What a great idea.
Yeah. And so now they've like commercialized this and you can go buy one. And so ours that we had made like 6 years ago, or I guess maybe like 5 years ago, because I think my son had been born at that point, but he was a little baby. Ours was packed away somewhere. So my mom had heard about this and she got it for us for Advent. So, wow. And our son just loves it. He's like, oh, Mom, we haven't done our straw today. We need to talk about it. And then, you know, it's like, okay, so what's an act of kindness, right, that you've done? And he's like, well, I let somebody cut in front of me in line, you know, mm-hmm. or I held the door open for somebody. And
right.
So it's cute to see
That's
him
great.
Excited. So, yeah.
So whoever came up with commercializing that idea, see, they did make some money off their skill.
Exactly. Maybe you just
I'm sure they donate it all to charity, though.
I've got... Maybe. Or maybe just their own Christmas fund,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
But I've got it, Bob. You can make state shape flashcards.
Oh.
And sell those.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And you can even, if you go on, are we allowed to say like website names?
Yeah,
we don't
sure.
have to. You could go to Etsy like, you know,
my wife
make
knows
it
all about Etsy. Yeah.
Yes.
And my daughters, they know all those teenage daughters, they know about Etsy.
Yeah, Etsy's great. Well, now you don't even have to like make the actual flashcards. You could just do the printables and sell it for like a few bucks and. Mm-hmm. People can cut it out and study their state shapes.
Yeah. I mean, it will. It's not too valuable, actually, because when you're driving, the state doesn't really look like that.
Well, yeah.
You know, it's,
when they're flying.
You don't get to see. Even when you're flying, it doesn't look like that because it's not cut out. See, it would help if when you got on an airplane, if each state was. I even know.
There's no borders around the states, yeah.
You know, like the big U.S. maps. I even know the color of each state. Yes. You
Doesn't
know how
that
each
change,
state's
though?
Different.
Is it. Okay, you're about to rock my world.
Montana
is it uniform?
Is yellow. No.
Like on every map, Montana's yellow?
Most. Yeah. I think it's. I think it's.
I feel like I need to go see this now.
I think it's in the Bible. Montana is yellow. California is kind of pink.
Oh, yeah. My gosh. I think you're right.
Oregon's green.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're kind of blowing my mind
Nevada's
right now.
Nevada's purple. Arizona's green. Yeah,
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have like this photographic memory for other things in your life too?
I have a photographic memory, but it's not a film.
I like that.
Yeah.
You have some of the best one-liners, Bob. That's great. I'm going to have to find a context to use that.
Well, so
we're back to Jesus stuff, right?
back to the God talk here.
Yeah.
So what is up for the new year in youth and young adult ministry?
Well, you know, just last night we had our, so last year we didn't do this in Advent. We technically did it in the Christmas season, so in like the first or second week of January. But this year we moved it to Advent just to see. So we had our second annual Advent/Christmas social for our youth ministry and young adult ministry leaders. And I realized we use this jargon, and maybe not everybody knows this, but a youth ministry leader is any kind of adult who serves either as a coordinator or a volunteer, like core team member in youth ministry, whether that's working with junior high kids, middle school kids, or high school kids, right? And then when we talk about young adult ministry, it's any adult who volunteers or serves in ministry that directly serves like 18 through roughly 39 year olds. Oftentimes they tend to be young adults themselves, who are, it's more like a peer to peer kind of led ministry. But just so, cause I know sometimes we use this language and people are like, well, what does that mean? So it tends to be a lot of young adults, although we do have older adults too when it comes to working with the high school students. So we had our Advent/Christmas party last night, and it was our second annual, and it was great to be able to, it's just a chance for a couple of things. One, to encourage and show appreciation on behalf of the bishop for their yes to ministry, their service. But also it's a chance for them to get to meet other people who are, you know, co-workers in the vineyard, right? Who are in the mission field together. To have that community and that chance to unwind. And we do this fun, like, free raffle. So it's a chance for us to also get resources to them. Like, we gave away a couple of books about, like, discernment with young people. And a Flannery O'Connor book and Bishop Barron book. And then just kind of, like, fun swag, like a mug with our diocesan logo on it. Or
I've got one of those somewhere here. There it is.
Yeah. Okay, yeah,
it's
yeah.
It's beautiful. It's so beautiful, I don't want to put coffee in it. I just want it to be beautiful.
I have another one for you, actually. I'll bring it for you. It's Advent-themed.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of a purplish, like, campfire mug.
Does that mean you
mug.
Just have to fill it with coffee and then just kind of anticipate and not actually drink it?
It's the parenting mug, so you pour the coffee, and then it gets cold before you have a chance to drink it while you're waiting.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah,
and I really like, you know, you occasionally read about these lawsuits where somebody spilled hot coffee on themselves they're suing, you know, and I have never had a cup of coffee that was too hot. I really like it hot.
It's been a while.
And I know exactly what you're talking about with it. It gets to where it's lukewarm. And it's like,
it almost becomes a
and
game.
Lukewarm, even Jesus says he doesn't like lukewarm. Spit it
Vomit
out.
Vomit it out. Yeah. Yeah, it's almost a game. How many times am I going to have to warm up my coffee today?
Yeah. That's why God gave us the microwave.
Exactly.
You know.
So we had that last night. It was great. We had about 20 of our youth and young adult ministry leaders from throughout the greater Sacramento region got together, had a good evening. And then, you know, we just had our Advent retreat back December 7th. So we're kind of winding down Advent season with our youth and young adult ministry leaders. In the new year, you know, moving forward, we have a lot coming up. It's pretty great. So we have Fired Ups coming up in February. Both of our Sacramento dates are completely full.
Wow.
And our Vallejo date is almost full. I'd say we're a little over 3/4 of the way full. So there's still a little bit of space if any coordinators of religious education happen to be listening and you haven't registered your group yet.
Is it a one-day event?
Yeah, so it's a one-day
check-in starts at 8:30, doors open at 9, and then it goes until about 3:30. And we have a phenomenal lineup of talent this year for both Sacramento dates and the Vallejo dates. So, we already had our Red Bluff one in November, and it was just a great experience. Yeah,
at the theater.
Yeah, it was a great experience. So it's a really, really amazing experience for young people. That's, you know, we're aiming to help them just really be excited about becoming, you know, lifelong, this lifelong journey with the Lord, right, through the Catholic Church. And to be able to have that connection with the global church, the universal church, mm-hmm. especially through their bishop. So, mm-hmm. So we have that. And then in the Sacramento region, we have several different youth ministries that are coming together to help plan events for the region. So, we're going to have a lock-in, which is like an overnight mix of fun and prayer, dynamic, talk kind of thing. We'll have adoration, all-nighter kind of thing, and that's going to be March 27th at Our Lady Assumption mm-hmm. in Carmichael. So we're going to try and get registration open for that soon. And then April 17th, we're working on planning a rally for high school students. So because a lot of the high school youth ministries have said, well, you know, the 7th to 8th graders, they get to go to Fire It Up and, right. and hear these right. amazing speakers and have this awesome experience. What about our high school students? So we're working on that one. And then this summer, we are a church on the go, as Pope Francis says. We have lots of mission trip and service week opportunities. So I know Alex, my counterpart in his region, is working on a couple of week-long mission trips to New Mexico.
I've already got the shape in my mind.
What color is New Mexico?
It's white.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll have to. We'll see. Well, yeah.
It's because White Sands is in New Mexico.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, so there's going to be a mission trip there. Our Sacramento Newman Center and I think our Davis Newman Center are both planning mission trips, and then
So what are you going to do in New Mexico?
Alex knows more about it. It'll be a lot of, I think, direct service. So like building houses, painting houses. I think they're also going to do some work at the border. He's more coordinating that one. So he knows more about their service. And
there's
then
some great church sites in New Mexico too.
Yeah.
Some great history.
I'm trying to remember where exactly it is that they're going, but I'm sure that's going to be part of it too.
Yeah.
And then in the Sacramento region, we're not going anywhere. We're going to highlight the opportunities within our own community to serve. Mm-hmm. So,
You always think that we have to go to Tijuana or we have to go somewhere else. There's plenty of opportunity right here.
Exactly. So, June 29th through July 3rd, we will have Mercy in Motion. And so it is we're calling it a mission week.
Mercy in Motion.
Yeah, Mercy in Motion.
That's great.
So looking at the formation piece will be around the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. And so we'll have, you know, formation for the young people. They'll go out to work sites. We'll have a chaplain with us each day. So, you know, we'll be celebrating the sacraments. So it'll be that spiritual nourishment. And we're going to be, our home base will be out of the Sacramento Newman Center. So it will be overnight. So the nice thing is that it's highlighting the needs of the community as well as, you know, for those teens who maybe don't feel comfortable traveling or their right. parents don't feel comfortable with them traveling, it's local, it's home. So we're working on, we were working out some details this week. So registration will open up in the first of the year. And with each of these events, you know, us regional coordinators are planning them, but we are inviting youth ministries to come mm-hmm. as a group. Or to get a group together to come. And so they'll register by the parish. And if any teens want to come, but they don't have an active youth ministry or
someone to their parish who can coordinate a group for them. Right. I'm asking them to contact, especially for the Sacramento Mission mm-hmm. Week, I'm asking them to contact me, and then we'll work something out, because we want to make sure that teens who want to come can come.
Right.
So there's a lot of, I mean, and that's just scratching the surface of what we have coming up. We have a really cool Lenten retreat that will be coming out too for our youth and young adult ministry leaders and just young adults in general. That's in a pretty unique format that I don't know that we've done something like this for a Lenten retreat ever. So
what's the format?
Well, so we're still,
is it a secret?
It's a surprise. So I'll come see you again in the new year, and
okay.
we'll be able to then maybe announce more of like how it's going to work out. But
so the event at Six Flags in September, is that already set? Did you set those things years in advance? Is it like a fixed date, like Christmas?
Yeah, it's like it's yep. When that on fire ends, I think before we leave the park, we have our date for
the
next
year.
Yeah. So they're working on who's gonna like the speakers that'll be there and things like that. So that's not
right.
necessarily set yet, although very soon, because I think we usually launch registration or ticket buying in March.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I believe that it is September 12th, I want to say.
It's my birthday. You can't have it on my birthday.
You can't have it on your birthday.
Unless I'm speaking.
Well, you know, if you want to. I don't have it on my calendar. So, yeah, I think it's the 12th, but don't quote me on that. I know we're literally
little early,
recording this.
It seems a little
this.
Early. Usually it's
yeah,
about
I feel
the
like it's,
3rd.
Yeah, so
Saturday.
Maybe it's the 19th.
It might be the 19th, yeah.
I'll have to look, but
good. Well, people just circle all the Saturdays in September.
Yeah, well, because then you have ministry days the last weekend, right?
Yeah, that's right. Which is always expanding.
Yeah.
Actually, touched Thursday a little bit this year.
Yeah,
Thursday, and then they had some events on Thursday, and then the main ministry days was Friday, Saturday. Yeah.
And then we were talking about what can we do to also. Because there's always a youth and young adult ministry track, so
right.
for our youth ministers and young adult ministry leaders.
Right.
But we thought, well, what else can we do to really serve
right.
our leaders? So we actually added also like a theology on tap, and I think, and that was really well attended with Father Avram this year. So I think we're looking at trying to do something similar again next year too.
Wow.
So,
so is there another World Youth Day scheduled yet?
Yes, it is. I think to
did they announce
Portugal.
It at the last one?
Mm-hmm. They always announce it at the end of the next one. I think it's 2022.
Yeah, it's always
in Lisbon.
It's Lisbon. That's right.
Yeah,
that's
mm-hmm.
right. It's coming back to me.
Yeah. So I think there's already a group kind of working on things in the background for that.
It's amazing how fast it comes. When they announce it, it's like, oh, it's 3 years away. Don't forget about it. You know, but it's amazing how fast it zips around.
Especially all the planning and coordination.
Yeah,
that
I can't
takes.
Even imagine. I mean, those things. I mean, presumably, I'm sure some people have stories, but they come off flawlessly.
Yeah.
They bring together people from all over the world, you know, 1 million or 2 million or 3 million. And it's like, and it just happens flawlessly and seamlessly and everything else.
Well, I don't know about flawlessly and seamlessly, but it happens well. And
did you go to Panama?
I did not go to Panama. No, I was pregnant, I think. Yeah, because my baby's 4.5 months. That sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sounds all right.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was, no international travel for me at that time. So, but I sent a group. The last group when I was at a parish that I sent was for Brazil. So there are, I mean, like with any event, there's always hiccups, right? But they pull it together really well.
Yeah.
And it always is this incredible experience for the young people. And again, I think it's because it's that connection with the universal church, right?
Sure.
It's something, our faith is bigger than us. God is bigger than us. And they really get that sense at World Youth Day. So.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of our young people, and that's kind of that sense that we're also trying to help, again, with like Fired Up, they get that sense of like the church is just bigger than their parish.
Yeah.
The faith is bigger than just their experience, right? That they are part of a global 2,000-year-old church.
Yeah, that's great. That's why I like the Walk for Life in San Francisco.
Yes, that's coming up too.
You go, oh, I'm not alone in this.
Exactly.
You know, because you can sometimes kind of feel that way.
Yeah.
And you, I remember standing up on a chair just to look out at the crowd because, you know, you're kind of eye level with everybody and you can't right. see how big it is. And standing up on a chair, and I went, then I took my daughter and put her on my shoulders when she was younger.
Yeah.
And she goes, Dad, it goes all the way. You can't see the end of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty spectacular.
It's been a few years since I've been able to make it, but one of the years I played music in a music ministry for young adults, and we were able to play on the Catholic radio stage.
Oh, great.
At the end of the walk. And yeah. it was like to see everybody as they were finishing and kind of hanging out. And it was like, oh my gosh, it was incredible. And it's, I don't know, comforting, galvanizing, uh-huh. right? Because you know, sometimes it's hard when we live in such a strong culture of death, right?
Right.
You feel like the lone voice sometimes. So
you really do. And, yeah. you get very energized seeing all these great people here. For really from, you know, I know it's become a political issue and, you know, people take sides and stuff, but it's really, there's people from all walks of life at Walk for Life.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and so a lot of our youth ministries are headed down for the walk, and I know we're collaborating with our Respect Life coordinator about encouraging more youth and young adult participation, and actually I have a meeting later today with our Respect Life coordinator about, you know, working together to really highlight our church's teaching and animate
right.
action, right, with our youth and young adult ministries. So, like I said, there's always stuff coming and, you know, down the line. Like that, you know, all of this stuff that we're talking about, that doesn't even touch all of the trainings and the formation and the support gatherings.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's exciting, right? Because there's always something new and it's always dynamic and it's always about trying to make sure we pause to listen to where the Lord is leading us.
Yeah.
Where's the Holy Spirit calling our ministries? And then how do we at the diocese respond to support them?
Right.
So I'll have plenty to talk about in the new year with you.
Very good. Well, we're moving into our fourth decade.
Exactly. But you're not over the hill. You're still just barely 21.
It's a good math question for, you know, one of those storybook math questions, you know, where you say, this radio show has been on the air for 20 years and a few months.
Yeah.
How could it possibly be in four decades?
Yeah.
It would be a great.
So I'm an 80s baby. So does that make it my fifth decade, even though I'm.
It would. Yeah.
Two millennia.
Yeah. 80s, 90s,
two tens, different centuries.
Zeros, tens. No,
wow. Yeah.
It's your fifth decade.
Wow.
It's weird. It's really weird.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah. Lindsay, always a pleasure. You and your family have a holy and blessed and Merry Christmas.
It's you and your family too. Thank you, Bob.
A wonderful new year and all that goes with it.
I appreciate that. You too.
Thanks so much. Speaking of the Walk for Life West Coast, the 25th January in San Francisco. It all starts at 12:30 at the Civic Center Plaza, and it's a wonderful walk down Market Street afterwards. And we've got some great speakers lined up. Reverend Clenard Childress will be there, a man who does not need a microphone. He's a great, great speaker. A lot of other speakers. Father Frank Pavone will be there as well. We go now to the phones, and we're joined by Letitia Hibbert here in Sacramento. Letitia, good day to you. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Bob. How are you?
Doing very, very well. And you're coordinating the Feast of the Holy Innocents.
Yes, correct. Yes, I have been having the pleasure to do that for about 5 years.
Wow. Well, it's certainly not a celebration, but it's a commemoration. And although anytime you're marching with like-minded people in honor of this and in remembrance of this, it It's a wonderful feeling, isn't it?
It is. It's so crucial that we give testimony of the value of life and that abortion is so wrong. And many people don't understand this because they're unaware or uneducated about the subject. But really, when we march, we bring that awareness to the forefront of people's minds. And that way, they realize that millions of people are dying every day because we're not doing anything.
Indeed.
So if we march and we bring our family and we bring our children, then they will learn to appreciate life and the value of it.
Indeed. And it is December 28th, rain or shine. Well, not shine. It can't shine because it's at night. But and it starts at 6 p.m., is that correct?
It starts at 6 p.m. at the steps of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament on 1017 11th Street. And from there, we march to Our Lady of Guadalupe, the
National
Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe. And we have to be there at 7. Bishop Soto is so kind to guide us in the rosary as we walk towards the santuario. And then we have a holy mass at 7. And we do it bilingual, so any people that speak Spanish can understand and who speaks English can understand. And we all pray for the end of abortion.
And if you can't participate in the walk for any reason, or maybe you don't have that particular hour free, come to Holy Mass at the National Shrine of Our Lady Guadalupe, which is at 711 T Street here in right in the downtown area.
Yes, at 7 o'clock at night on the 28th of December, and we will have the Knights of Columbus. The Cathedral Chapter will be so kind to shuttle people back to their cars at the cathedral. So it's okay to park close by to the cathedral, and the Knights of Columbus will bring them back to their car.
Oh, very good, very good. It's about, if for those that wonder how long the walk is, it's about a mile, a little more than a mile from the cathedral to Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yeah, it's not too long, and we stop at different points in the walk to announce the mystery of the rosary and have a little reflection by Bishop, and then we continue our walk.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a beautiful and simple way of giving testimony.
Very, very good. Again, it's on Saturday this year. It's always on the 28th, but it's Saturday this year. 6
it's Saturday p.m. this year, yes.
Procession begins at the steps of the Cathedral of the Blessed Sacrament. If you've never been there, it's at 1017 11th Street, right in the heart of downtown. You can see the Capitol from there. And then Holy Mass at 7 p.m. at the National Shrine of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which is at 711 T Street here in Sacramento. And good for the Knights for giving everybody a ride back to their to where they parked. Letitia, thanks for organizing all this, and I know it's a labor of love, and appreciate you taking the time to be with us today.
Thank you. It is a labor of love, and I appreciate you allowing me to invite everyone and bring your neighbors, bring your friends, bring your children.
Very, very
good.
Thank you,
Bob. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Letitia. God bless you and your family. Appreciate it very much. That's Letitia Hibbert, who is organizing the Feast of the Holy Innocents. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour.
This is Lincoln Snyder, Superintendent of Catholic Schools, and you're listening to the Bishop's Hour with Bob Dunning.
That's me. Welcome back, everyone. Appreciate you all being with us, and we're pleased and honored to welcome in Jim McCormick from the Sacramento Choral Society and Orchestra, the president of the society. Thanks for joining us. Jim, good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me on.
Good to hear your voice again, even if it's by phone. We always love seeing you in person as well. The Great Messiah Sing-Along is just around the corner.
You know, it's not far away. I mean, to celebrate the second day of Christmas, sometimes we call it St. Stephen's Day, as you know, and
right.
Some people in Canada and England refer to it as Boxing Day. But the Choral Society has not performed the Messiah in many, many years, and we want to involve and engage the community, so we decided to offer it as a Messiah sing-along where people come and they bring their own score if they happen to have it, or they can borrow a Messiah, so to speak, at the door. So on December 26th at the 2 p.m. matinee, you know, people will have already unwrapped their presents, so it's time to do something meaningful and as a community of people that come together.
Now, Boxing Day is where people would box up things for the poor. Is that right?
That's right. I love the concept, don't you?
Yeah.
So normally, the aristocracy, especially in England, on the second day of Christmas, they'd have special gifts and things, of course, that they were maybe re-gifting for the help, the poor in town, etc. And I really love it. I think it's a great concept. And we should have Boxing Day 365 days a year, Bob.
We should. And in America, I think Boxing Day is the day after Christmas. You're boxing up the presents you got that you don't want, taking them back to the mall for a refund.
I know. And you know, Bob, we'll have tickets at the door for this event at 2 o'clock. It is at First United Methodist Church. And it's at 21st and J, and there is some parking on the street. And on the website, it does guide you to parking behind the church itself. But we'll have our own Dr. Ryan Enright on this amazing pipe organ. So he will be our orchestra. And the other amazing news, Bob, is we have no soloists. Normally you have soprano, alto, tenor, bass soloists.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a chance for all these would-be soloists, these closet soloists, to come sing all of the choral parts and grab as many notes as you can in the soloist parts.
Wow.
It's pretty exciting. Yeah, we've all dreamt of doing those wonderful long arias where you take one breath and, you know, you see you're at the end of the piece with one breath. But it's really neat. So the idea is, like, just it's the spirit of the event that I hope people will, you know, catch on to.
So those three different voices you talk about, what... Does a choir have equal numbers of those, or what's the balance?
Normally, the way it often works for a balanced choir, you know how you have the sopranos on top and then the basses are on the bottom voice, mm-hmm. and the altos are like the lower sopranos, and then the tenors are the higher basses. If you have a solid number of sopranos and basses, it creates a great foundation. Because of the range of the tenor voice, which is higher, you can get away with having fewer tenors in a given choir. Hmm. In fact, if you look at the roster of choir members in a chorus, you'll often see that the tenor section is a little smaller than the other sections.
Oh, interesting.
It's fascinating, yeah. But anyway, it's an amazing work. And what I'm touched about, you know, it's on Boxing Day, and Handel, the greatest, you know, Baroque composer in history along with Bach, he wrote the piece, and it was for a charity in Dublin in 1742. Hmm. And he helped three charities. I got a real charge out of this. In 1742, he was commissioned, and the money from the concert was to go to, one, prisoners' debt relief, two, the Mercer's Hospital, and three, the Charitable Infirmary. So it's neat that on Boxing Day, when we're trying to give back to the poor, that this piece was originally premiered to help these three nonprofits.
I would just be fascinated to know back then, what are we talking about? We're talking about 280 years or so.
Yeah.
How those charities got selected for this magnificent work.
Well, you know, Handel was born in Germany, but he spent most of his life in England, mm-hmm. and he had a great network. He was a very successful businessman as well as a composer, and he had colleagues in Ireland who knew of his work. They wanted him to write something specifically for Ireland, for Dublin, and it was only later that they identified who would receive the initial, you know, support from the ticket sales. Apparently it was modestly accepted. And the piece was not really performed a lot during Handel's life. Mm-hmm. It was after he died that people realized that this is an amazing work. And Charles Jennens was the librettist. He wrote, and he drew from the Bible, the Cloverdale Psalter, and the version of Psalms included in the Book of Common Prayer. He took various excerpts, and I love what the actual Messiah, the music stands for. It stands as Jesus Christ is a commentary. The whole Messiah is a commentary on Christ's nativity, passion, resurrection, and ascension. So it's a long work, Bob. There's about three different parts. It does start with an instrumental solo, you know, orchestra, so to speak, but it will be the organ. And then halfway through the piece, to give people a chance to rest, there's a small symphonia, orchestra movement that gives us a chance to catch our breath.
Wow.
But I want to assure the public that it's very informal. Tickets are available online at sacramentochoral.com. And the good news, tickets are only $15. Mm-hmm. And I know that we will have some tickets available at the door. And we do have a post-Messiah Sing reception following the event itself.
Very good, very good. And again, December 26th, 2 p.m., First United Methodist Church at 21st and J Street, 2100 J Street here in Sacramento, sacramentochoral.com if you want to get tickets ahead of time. Jim, do you know when it was first performed in the United States?
You know, I think it was the late 19th century.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes these works, they really sputter. They have a bit of a popularity, and then it takes someone like another composer to say, hey, he was the greatest composer of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Mendelssohn did that for Bach, and I think it was really more mid to late 19th century in New York where the work was well received.
Wow. And now it's...
But really, and you know, Bob, there's so many great choral works in Western music, but Handel's Messiah is by far the most popular and most often sung choral work in captivity.
Really?
Yeah, it just resonates. And I know people associate, the Alleluia chorus.
Sure.
As, oh, that's Handel's Messiah. They think that's it. That's just one small movement, you know. But it's a movement that they might identify with. So we urge people, even if they can't sight-read the piece, come and enjoy the communal effort of bringing great music to one another.
Now, there will be, everybody's invited, and everybody's invited to sing.
That's right.
It just strikes me as a logistical nightmare.
Well, the thing is,
for a conductor, but yeah. We know who the conductor is.
Yeah. Luckily, we have Donald Kendrick. So the singers will sit in the congregation, and Don will be on the altar with Ryan and the organ, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, we sit in sections often, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. So we really buoy each other up that way. You don't have to sit in your section. You could sit anywhere you want. But there's solidarity if you can actually sit with the bass section, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
But, Bob, don't forget, most people who come to this in college or high school or maybe their church, they have probably sung the Messiah.
Sure.
And I've gotten wonderful comments from people saying this will bring back a ton of memories.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm one of those that figured it, that the Messiah was about 2 hours of the Alleluia chorus.
Yeah. Round two. What do they call that when you reboot and reboot? Yeah,
right, exactly. Right. Play it again.
But no, I'm glad we're doing it. You know, we haven't done it for many years, and I'm really glad that, you know, when people are, oh, they may be a bit tired after Christmas, but I really think it's good for the families to get out and sing together. It's such a wholesome thing to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's just something about music that is like a universal medicine almost.
Yeah, and you know, if you happen to like opera, Handel, he wrote this piece in a very short space of time. Like, we're talking 24 days.
Wow.
And they think he was actually inspired to write the piece on that short notice.
I mean, didn't he claim he was inspired by God?
That's right, exactly. Good for you, that's exactly the quote. That it was an inspiration, and it was almost like a feverish energy, like, don't bother me, feed me, put the food under the door, I'll eat it later, type of thing. So, and, you know, Scola, the church choir at Sacred Heart, we had the pleasure of visiting Handel's birthplace. You know, we're really thrilled that, you know, we have that memory of being at Handel's birthplace and, you know, seeing what he did as a young man before he went to England.
Wow. Well, one of my teenage daughters is performing it with her high school choir several days prior to yours, and so I'm hoping that she will accompany me.
Mm-hmm.
And just tell me to keep it quiet, Dad, and I'll do the singing.
That's cute, yeah.
And I think she would just be thrilled to be part of a sing-along of Messiah.
Because you know the old line, if you're going to borrow from the best.
That's
so
right.
So Handel was writing this piece in 24 days, and he had been writing opera, one opera after another. He was very successful in that genre, okay? But he borrowed from himself some of the opera arias that are actually in Handel's Messiah. He just changed the words, you know. So I thought that was pretty cool. Again, if you're going to borrow from the best.
Indeed.
It's going to be a great time. And again, it's the Handel Messiah sing-along version. Donald Kendrick conducting, Ryan Enright on the beautiful pipe organ at First United Methodist. Information at sacramentochoral.com. And again, we'll have tickets at the door. The doors open at 1 p.m., and the actual instant performance starts at 2 p.m.
And there will be a reception afterwards.
Yeah, we have a short informal reception, a chance to greet each other, because we've got singers coming from all over the area. Some from the Bay Area are coming up for this event.
Wonderful.
It has its own culture, Bob. When you have a sing-along Messiah, like, you know how we have a summer sing? Well, I refer to this as a winter sing.
Very good. Very good.
It's great. I think good King Wenceslas will smile down on us and all that.
Yes, indeed, on Boxing Day.
You got it.
Thanks so much, and we're going to take our listeners out to with the parts of the Messiah, the Alleluia Chorus. Jim, thanks so much.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, too. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the Mercy Foundation, enriching lives in the Sacramento region through Sisters of Mercy ministries in healthcare, education, housing, and the care for the poor and elderly. For the Mercy Foundation, philanthropy is one of the most powerful expressions of compassion and love. Just as many people in our community need a hand, countless others are reaching out to them with comfort and hope. You can express your care and concern for the less fortunate with a gift to the Mercy Foundation. You can give them a call, 916-851-2700. That's 916-851-2700. And you can be confident that fully 100% of your contribution will support the Sisters of Ministry of Mercy Ministry or ministries that you choose. And what a wonderful treasure Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts has been for all of us here in the diocese as they transition into new ownership and management. They continue to offer wonderful workshops, wonderful resources for the Catholic community throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Not only does Easter's provide a wide array of Catholic books, both current releases and longtime classics, but they also sponsor a number of valuable workshops and lectures throughout the year. They're located at 6916 Sunrise Boulevard in Citrus Heights. Give them a call, 916-338-7272. We also receive a generous underwriting support by Crumley & Associates, a private wealth advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services. If you have questions about retirement, Crumley & Associates can help you with their confident retirement approach that can help define a clear roadmap to get you where you want to go. You can contact them, get all the details at Crumley & Associates, 7956 California Avenue in Fair Oaks. They're at 916-638-4600. That's 916-638-4600. And we are certainly appreciative of the fine and longstanding support of the Mercy Foundation, of Easter's Catholic Books and Gifts, and of Crumley and Associates.